Okay, welcome back everyone to Walk Like a Mailman. These are your hosts. Say hello, Griffin.
Hello, Griffin.
Yes, I guess I asked for that. Anyway, and my name is Jeffro. It's nice to hear your voice, Griffin, again.
Likewise with you, buddy.
Yeah, how's your week?
It's going well. How about you?
Yeah, just doing good. Just like I said from last time, recovering a little bit and trying to, it's been a little chilly here in Seattle, and as you know, as carriers, most carriers, it's you're kind of like outdoors all the time. Mail carriers and homeless people, we are constantly outdoors. So, actually, when we were recording last time, it was literally like overnight, 11 degrees outside. Isn't that insane?
I mean, I
But
grew up back east, so that's kind
yeah.
of normal, but for where I am now in Vegas, that's completely
Yeah.
rare.
When I delivered in Reno, it was like 3 feet of snow, and I delivered in free, like 3 feet of snow, and it still felt like it's probably been a bit, but like I said, it's probably because of like Seattle, you're not used to it. And then, I mean, I've been here 3 or 4 years, and it's definitely the coldest that Seattle has seen in a while, even when it has snowed here. So,
Well, I'll tell you, we had some rain this morning in Vegas, even like little drizzles, which is like rare for us.
Yeah. Well, that's an average afternoon here in Seattle.
Oh, I know.
But before we like get into the show here, I just want to go over a little bit of housekeeping. To anyone that is listening, if you get a chance, can you please rate, review, and or subscribe, whatever's available, whatever option is there, when you're listening to the show. It really helps this show stay alive, but more importantly, I think like the ultimate priority is helping others find the show. And if you rate, review, and or subscribe, it's clobbering time.
Yeah,
Clobber
we
that
need to
subscribe
spread
button.
like the bubonic plague, okay?
I don't want to
Well,
be connected to that, but
but you know what I'm saying. We need to spread it.
I will say we want to be very contagious.
Yeah,
But
that's probably the more clever way of saying
yes, not plague level.
it.
So, and then speaking of housekeeping, I want to go over something with you
Okay, what did I do wrong?
specifically. So, I guess maybe a little minute background for this, a background. So for Christmas, I decided to get you a custom blanket. Is that correct?
Yes, you did. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. And since it was custom, it actually took a little bit longer than I expected. And, so here and so there, and took a little while. And then you received it recently and you sent me this text. Did you or did you not?
I think I
So,
sent you a
wait,
text.
wait, wait. Let me,
Okay,
I will give you the
where are we
floor here in a
going
minute. I
with
will
this?
give you the
We
floor
didn't
here
talk
in a
about
minute.
this in the rundown.
I know that this is the whole point. Did you or did you not send me this text
I
at
sent you a text, I'm
7:43 p.m.
sure.
Hey, like I said,
I don't remember what text I
let me
sent you.
finish and you will get the floor. I will come over there and I will power bomb you. Anyway, 7:43 p.m. I don't know what day this was, but it was sometime last week. Sylvester is making biscuits with your blanket. Did you send that?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay. And then Sylvester is your cat.
Yes.
Let's get that out of the way. Very adorable. I've seen pictures. I've not met Sylvester, but so that is exactly who that is. It's not like some rando dude. So Sylvester is your cat. It would be okay if it was a dude, but I know who Sylvester is. What the heck does that text mean?
Okay, so like Making biscuits is like this particular kind of motion that a cat makes when they're like on a really comfortable surface.
It's
They'll like,
like them kneading bread. It's like they
yes,
put their hands out and stuff.
exactly. Like you
But
get on
my
videos.
sister is a cat owner. My whole family, my family for like all eternity. You know our cats. We've had
Yeah.
cats forever. I mean, any person I've ever experienced talking about cats, I know plenty of cat people. They have never referenced it as making biscuits. That's like the
I have seen that like online on cat videos. They'll say like they're making biscuits. You know? This is that kneading
I
kind
don't
of
want you
motion, like they're
to. I don't
making.
care if that this whole entire show is this is us talking about this subject, by the way. So I want to let you know.
It was a very high compliment I was trying to pay because he likes the
I
blanket. He felt very comfortable and
but I don't
he's
want you
sitting
to,
on it right now.
or I do want you to like think about what I thought when you said making biscuits on my on the blanket I got you. It reminds me of I had a friend. Her name was Michelle, and she would hang out in our group of friends. And she had this apartment and a dog named Bosco. And it was this dog was like a little tiny. I don't know what the type of dog it is. It's like a miniature Doberman, or it's like little tiny dog, right?
Yeah.
And this is what makes me think of when I think of dogs. And cats, but just like pets in general, going number two or like excrement from pet animals. This dog, Bosco, was his name, had like the craziest separation anxiety from his owner, Michelle, right? So whenever
Yeah.
we would go hang out, I mean, it was like, the most insane thing I've ever seen dogs. Like as soon as you close the door, you could hear the dog just like losing its mind. As soon as you'd close the door, and we'd be hanging out with this friend. And when we would come back to her apartment, there would be like little like rabbit like size like little pellets of like poop everywhere. Like this dog literally went from corner to corner to corner, just like dropping little pellets. Like I don't know how, like he like pinched off like these, and they were like perfect little like round circles. And anyway, so she, but the funny thing about it, and that's what always makes me think about it, is she would call him cocky balls. And she would always go, and we'd be hanging out, and she would be like, "She's like, man, I know I gotta get back to the apartment. I'm gonna be spending the rest of the night cleaning these damn cocky balls." And she would always be like, we would always just be
Are you saying
laughing,
cocky or chalky?
cocky like cocky balls. I don't know why, like it was the funniest thing ever,
I mean,
but
it would
she.
make more sense if you said chalky balls because then it'd be like
I don't know
chocolate balls, and
what the like.
Bosco is like an old chocolate brand, you know?
And but I don't know why she would always like it made no sense of it, but that was what she used to just say, like little cocky balls. And she would like, and she would even try to crate this dog. And like one time we were like talking to her, and she was talking about how she like tried to crate him and put him in like a little like cage.
Yeah.
And the dog was even, and he was like a little like James Bond mastermind kind of dog too. He like I said, this separation anxiety was so intense. He somehow like broke out of the cage and then like cut himself, right?
Oh,
So
dear.
she got back to the apartment, and the whole entire apartment's just covered in blood and cocky balls. And she was just like, you don't mean to laugh, obviously and the dog was fine. Like he, and she loved this dog. That was the thing about it is, and like I said, this dog obviously loved her to where like whenever she left, like he was not well. But it was just anytime to like circle back, anytime like, and when you were saying that Sylvester was making biscuits on the blanket I got you, it reminded me of Bosco and his cocky balls. Anyway, so
Let's get on to point. What are we supposed to be talking about today?
back to the show. Last show, if you listened, was a little bit more of like a straightforward, like point to point to point, like step by step of like what I did in the morning,
And we
right?
got
And
to like 9:30 in the morning.
we kind of like got to the point where like it was ready for me to go to the street. And that is kind of how I like in general. I don't want to like do that kind of show where like every single time I'm like talking about like point by point, like step by step, because kind of like going forward, the rest of the show, it's all kind of mostly about being on the street. As a mail carrier, you kind of like it's kind of like doomsday prepping, you know. You like prepare, prepare, prepare. You like, you know, get everything all ready, and you kind of like, you know, get everything in as like controlled working fashion as you can. But then when you get to the street, that's when it hits the fan, you know. When you head out, all bets are off. It's just
Okay.
it's usually like some of the like the craziest things ever. So I will go over a couple more things to like kind of get us in the like, you know, to like kind of continue off of last week. But at the same time, going forward in the show, that's kind of mostly what we're just going to be talking about like what it's like out, you know, on the street, interacting with you know, the residents of the people that you deliver to. So but where we left off last week, we had DPS. Don't ask me what that stands for, if you remember. All these acronyms. And then we had the flats and everything organized. So you basically have, you know, I told you we had like six parts. We kind of organize it in kind of like consolidate it down to like three parts when we head out to the street. So we'll have the DPS, and we put that like in the vehicle. We have the flats that had the flats, the loose flats, the hot mail case. That's all organized in order, the same order as the DPS, but those are in its different tray. So that's like section number two. And then we have our packages. So then when we deliver, we're basically delivering the DPS, the flats, all in order, and then the packages as they come along as well. So we consolidated it from six to three different sections when we're delivering out onto the street, you know.
Yep.
So, and kind of to like get really more rudimentary, there's two different types of mail carriers. From my stories and what I tell and everything, it's all usually from what we call a city carrier's point of view. That's
Okay.
what I have always been. I have worked in stations, and I get made fun of because I say this word kind of funny, or I've been told I made fun, make fun of, or you can make fun of me for saying this word. But rural carriers,
Rural.
rural, yes. Rural carriers are the other carriers, right? And they typically go out to the boondocks, and they go to, you know, BFE or however you want to say
We don't take kindly to your city folk around
it.
here.
Yes, they're the deliverance carriers. So, you know,
Ding.
and the two different types are very like the operations in the office and getting everything ready for the street is typically the same. But then once they go out for delivery, it's two different types of jobs, and they're even governed by two different unions. And they're paid a completely different way. It's very like separated as far as like those two different types. They're all carriers, and we all have like a lot of times the same woes. But when it comes to like the actual like technical side of it, of like how we're taken care of by the post office, it's a little different. The interesting thing about rural carriers is they in some stations are asked to use their own personal vehicle to deliver mail, which is insane to me. Like they kind of I think they get paid for like upkeep and obviously gas for their vehicle.
Well, they probably get paid a mileage expense.
Yeah, exactly. But once again, I haven't really worked at a station where they do that. That's usually a little bit more of like the rinky dink stations out there, you know. But But once again, I usually refer more to like the city operations or the city carrier operations. That's what I've always kind of like worked as or worked for. And then once we get from under those two umbrellas, I'll talk about the types of delivery. The types of delivery that we have are driving routes, walking routes, car hops is kind of like a thing. And then the most frequent for city carriers is parking loops, right? So I'll go quickly through these one by one. Driving routes is when you're like in a vehicle and you're driving and you're actually delivering mail. Typically, these are with like the LLVs, the ones I mentioned earlier. They're the ones that are
The
the
vans that Chris Farley lives in.
no, though that's
No,
a
no. Oh, sorry,
ProMaster.
sorry.
That's a ProMaster. LLV is the long life vehicle. They're
Oh,
the little boxy
right.
cars. A lot of those are right-hand drive vehicles. So like when you look at them, it kind of looks like they're like from England. They're driving like they got like a reverse drive. And they do that so that way they can pull up to the curb because it's like curbside delivery. They pull up to the curb, the mailbox is there, basically on the other side of the sidewalk, like between the sidewalk and the street. And the vehicle will pull up next to it. And then you basically stick your arm out of the vehicle and you can extend the mail and your hand out into the mailbox. And that's how you deliver. And it's called a driving route. Other stations call it a mounted route. But that's what I call or what we refer to as a driving route. You basically never get out of your vehicle the whole entire time that you're delivering mail. And there's walking routes. Walking routes are usually a little bit more predominant in like really busy areas. Like New York City is like the classic example. It's obviously not known as like a driving like type of city, you know, like driving your
Yeah.
personal car. So what you can do is you can even take your subway to like certain areas to deliver, and there'll be what we call relay boxes. They're kind of like the blue boxes that you put mail in, like to like deliver, like when you're having outgoing mail and you want to have people like or the mailman take it away, you know, like the blue boxes everyone sees. They're like just the mailboxes on the
Yeah.
corner of the. But relay boxes are the same thing, but they're typically green. And what they do is like one guy will drive around the whole entire city and stock it full of mail for that block, right? And then you take like the subway or like you walk from the station and you go to the relay box and you open it and it's got your mail for that block. And you go and you deliver it. And then you get back on the subway and you go to the next block and then you find the next relay box and you open it up. So basically, you're just walking the whole entire day. You don't even use a vehicle. They don't even give you a vehicle or vehicle keys for that day.
And unlike what you mentioned before with the way you organize it, those things are just in bags. So there's like no organization. You just have to kind of find what pieces of mail go to what stops or.
I'm not familiar with it as much. I do believe it is organized. There might be like a person that comes in like extra early in the morning and organizes it and then puts it in the bag and puts it in the relay box. When you get a chance, you should talk to Shane. I believe Shane, a guy, a common friend of ours, he is a mail carrier and he, I believe, has a walking route, but is from the station, the university station here. So he literally like just walks off of the like the out of the station and he like just walks to his like first delivery point or his relay box and he
Should
opens
get
it
Shane to
up.
come on here and talk about
Yeah,
it. So
exactly. And that
just
might be
walk
something that
about.
we're, you know, we're working out the kinks, and that is something I want to do is maybe bring on some carriers. And then have them, you know, give us like some insight, maybe some crazy stories of what they've experienced. But I'm pretty sure just to, in reference to this, he, I believe, has a walking route where he doesn't have a vehicle key. He doesn't get into a vehicle. He just literally walks off the station and walks to his first relay box, picks up the mail from it, and he's at university, and I believe he delivers to the actual, like, pretty much campus, and like all of like the dorms and places, or like
Which university are we talking about? Like Washington or like a different?
the University of Washington,
Okay.
which, by the way, my heart goes out to them losing not only the championship, but then like a week later losing their head coach to Alabama. So my heart goes out to the University of Washington. But anyway, so that he has a walking route. And that's, like I said, walking route is just basically exactly what it sounds like. You don't drive, you just walk the whole entire time and deliver mail, and you go to relay boxes typically and get your mail out of there and then deliver to like the block, and then either get walk down to the next block, or you get like I said, subways in like the that actually, there is relay boxes all over Seattle. We used to have a lot of walking routes in Seattle. They did change it to driving routes, or not driving, but regular park and loop routes. But at the same time, it's really predominant in like heavy city incorporated. It's definitely like New York City is always the example, like when you're doing training and they talk about walking routes. So the next one is car hops. That's more of just like a reference. I kind of put it in there as like a type of delivery. A lot of the rural carriers do car hops. So car hop, and in other stations, like the one in Reno, they would call them hop and stop, which I think is like the stupidest way to describe it. Sounds like you're kind of doing it in the wrong order. You just
Yeah.
like you're just driving, you hop it and then you stop it. No, like, but yeah, in like Reno, they called them hop and stop. Car hops, I think, is the more like, I won't say technical term, but it's the more widely used term. So car hop is basically like you drive up to a house, you drive up to the front of their house. It's kind of like exactly what all like other couriers do, like as far as like DoorDash or like Uber Eats. You drive up to your house, you grab the mail, you walk up to the front door, you drop the package and or mail in their mailbox, and then you get back in the car and you drive away.
Do the people have to like pay for that special service, or is it just kind
No.
of customary?
What is very like common when it comes to car hops is when there's like a house that's like all by itself on a block, right? It's kind of like a standalone house, and it's like kind of like hard to incorporate that into your like delivery circle or your delivery area. So the only way to basically deliver to some houses is a car hop, where you just basically drive up to the house, you deliver their mail, you get back in the car and you drive off. That's called a car hop. Each typical route usually at least has one car hop. It's like I said, usually there's like one house on a block that's like a standalone house. A lot of times when you're in an affluent neighborhood, houses tend to have like large acreages between each other. So if that was the case, that would probably be, you'd be more inclined to car hop those deliveries, where you just drive to like that house, you stop, get out of the car, deliver, and then you get back in the car and you drive off to the next house,
Sounds like a lot of the rural ones would have those kind of car hops as
Yeah,
well.
I don't know if I mentioned that, but I'm pretty sure that's what I meant to say. It was the rural carriers, typically, I think, are all car hops, or most of it's car hops. And the most frequent that carriers and city carriers, the more frequent ones that we do, are what we call park and loops, right? So a park and loop is, and it's a little hard to explain, but when you see it, it's like the most simple thing ever. So you park on like one end of the street at basically one corner, right? And then you deliver mail, like you'll walk down to the end of the block on one side of the street. So you're literally delivering, let's just say, to the right side of the street. And then after you deliver to that one side of the street, you cross the street. And then you deliver all to the left side of that street, basically coming back. You're working back to your vehicle, and then you deliver the whole entire left side of the street. So you've delivered the right side and now the left side, and then you get back into your car and you have officially done a park and loop. Makes sense. You parked, you basically did a big loop of delivery, and then you got back into your car and you're going to go to your next, what we call parking point, you know?
Yep.
So that's the most frequent thing that city carriers do. There is another thing called a deadhead. Not my current route, but the route I used to be on, there was a giant water tower in the middle of my delivery. And it was actually because the area that I used to deliver to in Seattle, it used to be a naval base, and it has a giant like naval water tower in the middle of it.
Okay.
So, but I'd be delivering around the water tower, and the area in the middle is like kind of like a park, right? It's basically just a big open field with a water tower in the middle of it. And there's no houses on the left side. And we call that a deadhead. And a deadhead is basically like a park and loop, but you're only delivering to one side of the street. So half of that park and loop means that you're going to be delivering to nothing, right? So like a deadhead would be like, I park my car, I deliver all the way on the right-hand side. I'm delivering, 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 right side, right side, right side. And then I'll cross the street and there's completely nothing on the left side. A lot of times it's always like parks or churches on that side. That's like the most common. You'll be delivering to like nothing and you're just walking back to go back to your car. So you're basically just delivering to one side of the street. So it's like a one-sided parking loop. It's a deadhead. And then there's also collections. And collections is a route basically where you just collect mail, like the blue boxes that I previously mentioned. It's actually a route where you're like just going from businesses to businesses. You're collecting blue boxes. You're just basically anything that involves outgoing mail, or a business that just does outgoing mail, or a place that just has a lot of outgoing mail. They can call the station or go online and register to be at what we call a collection point. And there's routes and even some stations where that's all they do. They're involved with collecting mail all day, you know. And you can sign up for that as a carrier. It's just like any other route, but you can be on what we call a collections route. And those are basically the types of delivery.
Got it.
Let's see. So once again, moving to, you know, what I would like to be a little bit more about on this show is not just like step by step and like, you know, bullet point of like types of delivery or process of delivery. I just want to kind of do like a topic of the day, right? So when it comes to the topic of today, I don't like to use the term pet peeve, because it makes it seem like, you know, I don't know, I just don't like the term pet peeve. But
It
you want to know what my pet peeve, my number one,
really grinds my gears.
that's exactly why I don't like using it, because it's cliche. But like the numero uno thing that like if I could change as being a mail carrier, and like it's kind of like my top PSA, right? As a sh like if I was to make a show and there's like a like one purpose on this planet to change as a mail carrier in this show, it would be to let people know to check your damn mailbox. How often would you say you check your mail?
I pretty much check my mail once a week.
Yeah, and that's acceptable. There's nothing like when you're like doing a park and loop or you're like delivering mail and you get to a house and you open up the box and it's just crammed completely from like bottom to top full of mail. Whether it's like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, just crammed full of mail. I have never done that. Like my family always, we always kind of did it. It was like a daily ritual. We would either do it like right before, but most typically it'd be right after dinner. We would finish up cleaning the di doing the dishes, And it would be like, okay, it's kind of like a little walk. Let's walk to the end of our property, go to the mailbox and check the mail for the day, you know? And that was like kind of our thing. And yes, we missed it once or twice, you know, here and there. And even as a mail carrier, I tell you, I don't check it every single day. But it kind of like kills you a little inside as a mail carrier. It's like, why the hell am I doing this when someone's not even checking their damn mail, you know? And the numero uno on top of that, like with like an extra little like cherry on the top, is like when you like cram the thing like full of mail, and it's like what the heck is this person like? Why won't they just, you know, check their mailbox, you know?
Yeah.
And then you'd like get a package and you scan the package as delivered and you put it in their mailbox, right? And then the next day you're doing the loop and you're like, okay, well, I gotta deal with this stupid box again. You open up the mailbox and the package is gone, but all the mail is still in there. That's when you're like, what the hell is going on, right? And that's when we typically, as a mail carrier, what I call, but what we call is pulling a box, right? So we'll pull the box, like take all the mail out, and we'll put like a notice. And you basically have 10 days to come to the station and pick your mail up. And it's basically like you're being punished. You have to come to the station and have to speak to someone and have someone say, you should know better, you know, like wag of the finger type deal.
Not today.
Yeah. You need to, you know, and then we have to tell you, hey, please, can you check your mailbox at a regular, you know, consistency here? Because if we have to pull your mailbox and you don't pick up that mail in 10 days, we return everything to sender, and then we just mark your house as vacant. And so basically, we're just returning any mail that we get for that house, you know. So then you basically get like you start from scratch again, and then you really have to come to the station to like start receiving mail again. But then a lot of times people will come, you know, on like the 11th or 12th day, and be like, oh, where's my mail? You know, what happened? And it's like, you know, got this
You
notice. You
lose.
got this piece of paper that says that your mail will be returned to sender after 10 days. You didn't come, and all your mail has been returned to sender, you know? And a lot of times they don't even really care about the mail. What will happen is they'll receive a package within that window. And then once they get that package and it doesn't get delivered, like where the hell is, I always think it's like, as full circle, I always think it's like a cat toy, and people like freak out when they don't get their cat's toy. Like they come to the station, it's like, oh, Fluffy didn't get his little catnip, you know, ringy ball. Anyway, so they come to the station and they're like, oh, where's my package? I was supposed to have a package delivered today. And it's like, dude, like you got a notice in your mailbox that says that your mailbox has been pulled, and we're gonna have to return everything to sender. So if you don't check your mailbox at a regular basis, this is gonna happen again. And when we don't deliver the mail, we don't deliver packages, you know. It's a term we say all the time. No mail, no packages, you know. So how are we good on time?
Well, let's just take a little quick break here and we will come back.
Okay, and welcome back to Walk Like a Mailman. Almost forgot what the show was for a second. Anyway,
Walk like a mailman.
walk like a mailman. Da, 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 da. Anyway, so yes, welcome back. I was going to reference our last week's segment, calluses. The reason why I did say that, and I kind of there was someone who had brought that up to me. So as a mail carrier, and we all do parking loops and stuff, and a big thing that we do is we all have like pedometers on our phone. And if, for those people out there that don't know what a pedometer is, it's something that
You
like
guys all
counts
track
your,
your steps, basically.
yeah, it counts your steps. And like I'll pull it up right now. Just as a, this is great podcasting, I'm sure. So pulling up my pedometer, but the
Because I got one of those
pedometer.
too, but I don't work on a postal route.
Exactly. And that's what Okay, so yesterday I took 27,220 steps. I walked 11.6 miles. I burned 100 or
Sweet Tebow, 27,000 steps.
I walked 12 miles yesterday and I burned over 1,100 calories. And I spent at least 4.5 hours of walking time yesterday.
Wow.
So, and I do that daily. And if you can, you can get on what we call an overtime list, and
Yeah.
you're basically doing that 6 days a week. So, when I say calluses, I mean the ones on my feet. And you learn real quick about foot care and about like you. And with any kind of like, and I'm not comparing myself to these people, but like with athletes and like dancers, you always hear like some like horror stories of like how jacked up their feet are, I like now like that, I'm in that kind of, zone where it's like something where, obviously walking, 12 miles a day, you tend to, see like the like oh yeah like that's true. And you can't just buy some cheapy pair of shoes either. You learn like, I mean, with mail carriers we go through shoes like every 2 or 3 months, so like these are things that once again, in reference to same thing as last week, these are things that you don't think of before you become and get involved with being a mail carrier.
Yeah, you must have some like really good arch supports and like
Yeah.
a Dr. Scholl's
Yeah, you
foot
definitely get
things.
yeah, you get supports to put in your shoes, and then you get,
Supports, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you for
yeah,
supporting me
and
there.
I'm supporting the supports. But like I said, when you get like cheapy pair of shoes, it's not so much that they hurt your feet, although that is something that you will realize that like the cheaper you go, typically like your feet start to hurt the quickest, and you start to get like calluses like in weird parts on your foot because you're literally putting like miles on these things like the first couple of days. The first like 3 days you've walked over 35 miles in this thing. You know what I mean? So you'll get like weird calluses in certain parts of your foot and stuff. So we like I've gone on like a lot of like message boards or like you get connected with other carriers and we all talk about like what's the best shoes to like to log like it's not that not necessarily comfort as well. That's like kind of like the diagram of it. The Venn diagram is on one side is comfort, but then at the other side is like long lasting. You
And
want
then in the
really
middle is
comfortable
Nicolas
shoes.
Cage.
Yeah, it's like a what do they call that? Like I said, you want to be in
No,
that.
I think the Venn diagram, you got the two circles, and then you got like the part in the
Like
middle.
in the little small intersection in the middle, and that's what you want is that type of shoe that not only is comfortable to your feet, but at the same time something that'll last a little bit longer. Like there's a one brand that's really popular. I won't. Well, I will. You know what? I'll give them some pop because this is, I guess a platform for it. The one that tends to get a lot of traction, pardon my pun, is
Again.
the Nike Monarchs. Those are typically like a real popular shoe as far as like then kind of like long lasting. And then the ones that I've been trying right now, and to me I've had the most success with is the Hoka, the HOKAA, like they're a bit of a
I've never
newer
heard of
brand.
that brand of shoes.
Yeah, the Hoka ones, the ones, I think it's the brand or the model is the
Is
one.
that like one of those shoes that like actually looks like your foot?
No,
Mad with the grooves in
it's a
it.
shoe that's more specifically meant for like joggers. I when you're in Seattle, there's it's like jogging country out here. We have a lot of joggers, and a lot of them use Hokas, Hoka, and it's a very popular jogging shoe brand. But they make one that's meant for just like a lot of walking, and it's the Hoka ones. And I've used that, and I have to tell you, I'm not going to go back to the Nike Monarchs. But Hokas are a little pricey. You're going to be paying for it, but to me, it's worth it, especially like with your feet. You only get two of them. It's something that like you're going to be shelling out a little bit more, but it'll be something that will pay for itself in the long run.
And if you want to
So.
sponsor the show, send an email to walklikeamailman@gmail.com.
Yes, or contact us, and we will be more than happy to accept free shoes on this show. So yes, but speaking of segments, one that I'd like to do is the mailman of the show and an
Da da
intern.
da da da
Yeah,
da 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 da.
okay. Why is it weird? Every time we do it, sounds like some like Johnny Carson, like cheesy, like I don't know. It reminds
Because
me of
we're cheesy,
a
that's
young
why.
Frankenstein to putting on the Ritz, you know what I'm saying?
The
Put on the Ritz. Anyway.
nobody
And
before
cut all of
1980 is
this
gonna
out.
get that joke.
Cut all of this out. No, I'm just joking. Anyway. So mailman of the show isn't just this show. It's a character that's typically like in media as far as like shows or in like movies or just in like the common lexicon. And today's mailman of the show is Newman from Seinfeld. So we mentioned it last week, and that's why I wanted to say like put a pin in that because I wanted to like kind of make this like a reoccurring thing where we talk about like a different mailman that's like I said, that's on television or on TV or that's in movies. So I know that this was when we first became friends, Seinfeld was like kind of like a go-to like reference. We both kind of like bonded over our enjoyment of Seinfeld. So I'll turn it over to you because I do know that you're a little bit more, probably more proficient in your knowledge of what do you think of when you think of Newman from Seinfeld?
I think about how he never gets enough of the mail delivered. He makes these jokes about like how nobody ever delivers 100% of their mail.
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's like the 3-minute mile.
Yeah, and 3 minute mile. So my like the one bit that I always kind of like circle to, it's kind of like Bosco and his cocky balls that every time I think of Newman from Seinfeld, I always think of the one bit where like and Jerry Seinfeld in general, he's got something against to me, like from what I've viewed. He makes the post office like a big punchline or a punching bag to a lot of his skits. He makes fun of the post office a lot. And if you watch a lot of his like comedy, like his actual stand up, he says that like the post office is it's like the stupidest like business plan. Or business structure where it's like, yeah, like, I'll take that letter. Just give me a quarter and I'll take it to Hawaii. It's he like makes fun of, just how like, weird or how, stupid the post office is, for lack of better terms. But what I think of is when Newman, like they're like all sharing him. Newman, Kramer, and Seinfeld are sharing storage space, and Newman puts like mail, like sacks of mail, in the storage space. And like Seinfeld co comes over to the apartment. He's like, "Dude, you gotta get this mail out of the storage space." And Newman's like, He's like, oh, like screw the post office. My transfer didn't go through. And he's like, what are you talking about? It's like my transfer to Hawaii. It's the number
Well, that's
one.
the episode where Jerry actually ends up taking over Newman's route, the one I was actually
Thank you
referencing.
for spoiling alert. That was where
We're
I was
spoiling
going with
something from a
this.
show that was on like,
That was
30
exactly
years
where I was
ago.
going with this. So anyway, but the line where he goes like, yeah, like the number one requested route is a route in Hawaii. He's like, it's the air is so sweet out there. The stamps, they lick themselves. And but then there's the part where like Jerry like ends up delivering the mail to like help out Newman. And he's like going around, he's like delivering mail to like businesses down New York City.
Yeah, because if
And
Newman goes to Hawaii, Jerry doesn't have to deal with Newman anymore, so it's like beneficial.
And he's like even like walking up to like homeless people on the like the side of the street, and he's like, here's your mail, you know, and he hands off the mail. And then Newman comes back and he's like, I got in trouble, or like they, you know, he's like, they know the, you know, the gig is up, or the jig, is it the jig? The jig is up, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? He's like, what's the problem? Like, I delivered all the mail. And he's like, yes, that's exactly the problem. And he's like,
And
the mail never gets delivered, you know?
they know that he didn't do it because he delivered too much of the mail.
Yeah, he delivered all of the mail. And that's what I think of when I think of Newman from Seinfeld. So, hello, Newman. So that's our new segment. So look forward to that for future ones. I don't know if we'll do it every single show, but it'll be definitely something like a staple of what we're trying to do is try to talk about, you know, mail carriers that, you know, because it's very commonplace to have mail carriers in shows. They're like kind of usually like, you know, framing devices or like, you know, characters that are like return, you know, and they return characters and they come in through the show and do all of that. So, but is there, so how is everything going with you, Griffin? You said that the game is going on right now and the Lions are winning.
Yes, let's see. I'll check my phone, see if there has been a score change since we last were talking about it. No, it's still 10-3 Detroit.
Yes, and I do for like Super Bowl predictions and side note, me and Griffin are like pretty like rabid sports fans. We will try not to like muddy the show up too much with like our sports talk. I think we've already kind of did it in the last show and this and that. You know, we kind of like to kind of reference it, but not make, you know, we're not like, we try not to be complete meatheads, although we both, you know, have, you know.
I haven't watched a single football game this year. I don't know how much of a
Yeah, but
meathead I
you
can
know,
be at this
you've
point.
watched probably like 18 times and have checked like the you know the stovetop updates of MLB like 92,000 more times than I have. So
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I started doing a baseball podcast, so of course I'm
yeah.
gonna check the hot stove.
Okay, well, if we're gonna give pops to shoe companies, might as well give you a pop. What is your other podcast? How about that?
It is the Socks and Pinstripes podcast. You get to hear me talk for about 20 minutes a week on the various comings and goings of baseball.
Yes, and I have not made an appearance on there, except even though that I have beat Griffin more times. Then he has beat me in this, especially head to head, and then I even won the very first championship.
Yes.
So I am far more successful in this touted. It's a very awesome, very fun baseball fantasy league. They
Yeah,
call
the
it this
Marty Cordova Invitational.
the rotisserie, like the
We don't
original.
play rotisserie, dude. That's completely different.
But that's where it came from. I think that was like the original thing is a
Well, yeah,
rotisserie
originally I
baseball.
believe like all of fantasy sports like started with fantasy baseball and started like
Exactly, that's what I mean, and that's what the very first formation of fantasy sports was rotisserie baseball, right?
I believe so. I'm not an expert
Yes,
on
I
that.
watched the podcast, or not
You
podcast.
mean
We're on
like a,
about
I think
something.
it was a documentary or something about
Yes,
it, but I
documentary. I
haven't
think it
seen
was a
it.
30 for 30, and it talks about the origins of baseball, or fantasy baseball and fantasy sports in general. And it all started from a small group of friends that had to like check newspaper box scores. That sounds so, oh
It's like that
man.
episode of the, I don't know the episode, but the part of the league where they got kicked off of the online platform
Yeah.
because they were showing too many filthy videos and stuff, and they had to
Yeah,
like go all
no.
manual at the end.
Excuse me. Yeah, that was, I think, when Rafi was doing very naughty things to birds in a bird sanctuary, and he filmed it, and then they got kicked out of the league. Anyway, I digress, or we digress. We don't want to make this show all about our random rantings. This is what we sound like when we're together watching a sporting event.
I
But
mean, you
anyway.
can tell we don't talk about this stuff in advance. We just go and we wing it.
Yes, but I
Wingy
wanted to
dingy.
mention something that we might like bring up, and that's what we call the tally mark game, right? Do you want to like give any kind of background of what the tally mark game is?
You talking about like when we do the tallies on the plaque?
Yes, and who received the last tally?
I thought you did.
Oh, I did it. Do that on purpose by bringing it up just so you
Sure,
could give me
sure, sure.
my flowers. So yes, we have a plaque, and it's between us. And it started off when we both were in college, and we both played basketball against each other, and we had basically a way to keep track, just like cavemen do. Just put
Or
like
like prisoners
marks
keeping track of number of
on
days
a
that you've been
cave
in
wall
prison.
of who beat the other by putting balls in holes. So we would keep track of like the games between us, basketball games, and when we won one and we the other one won, we would like and we kind of moved on from that. We don't play basketball, especially because we're both living in two different cities. But now we have like different contests, and sometimes we'll do like a bet against each other or something. And when we'll instead of betting money, instead of betting something else like possessions, we bet the most prized possession, which is a tally mark. It's like, oh, like I bet you a tally mark that we'll be able to do this, right? So I don't have you are in possession of the said plaque, correct?
I thought you may have taken it back when
No,
we. No,
you
I
offered to
haven't.
give
Okay,
it to me because I never mind. Well, we have it, and it's
I'll. One of us has it. I don't remember if I
And
have
it is current. I don't know what the current standings are. I do know that you're currently winning.
it. But not by much. You've been
Yes,
like
I've made
kicking my
a
butt
strong
lately.
comeback. So the reason why I bring it up is because I had a new idea of like a tally mark game, and I
Okay.
figured what better place to do it and have everyone listen my proposals of the new tally mark game, right? So I have two ideas. First idea is every single week we both have to pick three games, right? Three games. It doesn't matter what sport it is because, as a sports fan, pretty much every, and that's the thing that modern America has is basically a sporting event every single day between now and like, forever, There's always a sporting event, especially within a week, right?
Yeah.
But you pick three teams, just like the football game that we have. But the three teams you pick have to be underdogs. And you know what a point spread is, correct?
Yes.
And
I know.
I mean to bring that up as far as like to like talk to like the general listener here. So a point spread is every game, and pretty much the big reason why sports are popular to this point and to this day is because of betting, sports betting. And when they make what they call like odds on the game, And let's just say today, I believe the point spread between the Lions and the Buccaneers today was 7 points, right? So that means that the Lions were favored by 7 points over the Buccaneers. So they're saying that they're estimating that at the end of the game, it's going to be points for the Lions, and then the Buccaneers will lose. And if the Buccaneers lose, they're most likely going to lose by 7 points. Most likely. That's what the point setter, a lot of times the casinos are saying, is like that's what a point spread is that. So like a good way to look at it is if you're betting on the Buccaneers, you're like getting to start the game with 7 points. So at the end of the game, when the clock hit and the clock hits triple zeros, if the Buccaneers lose, but they lose by less than seven, you still win that bet. It's called ATS, against the spread. You're betting against the spread. Griffin, does that sound like I'm describing this specifically in an apt manner?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So for this tally mark game that I'm trying to come up with here, you have to pick three teams, and they could be negative one, they could be negative 14, and it's
Well,
not
the
against the
negative ones are
spread.
the favorites, though. The
Well, no,
pluses.
but I'm saying this isn't, we're not talking about spread. It just, the points just dictate who you can pick and who you can't pick. So if you pick any like underdog, so any team that are getting points, right, and they win outright, you get a point for that game. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So if you picked the Buccaneers and they won, they have to win outright. It doesn't matter how much they have to win by, they just have to win. And for if we're making specifics rules on this tie, not necessarily that it's going to be a tie in this game, but in general, you can for soccer if there's a tie. So you got to pick an underdog, and the underdog has to win, and then you get a point. And we'll check back by this time next year, this exact time. Was this January 21st at time of recording? And whoever has the most points wins a tally mark.
Boy, that's a lot of work.
That's all we got to do is just con like, we already keep in touch with each other and let each other know the three games. I'll let you know like what the windows are. So then that way we can kind of check back on it, maybe like next show recording and go over the games that you picked and how good you did, and then the versus the games I picked.
Also, we don't have to pick the things on here because like three a
It can
week right
literally
now is
be,
a lot.
it literally could be any sport, any sport.
Oh,
You could
I
do
know. I'm just not paying attention to the course right
Russian
now.
ping pong, It could be hockey, it could be baseball, basketball, anything. Like just as long as I can find it on a website and I know that they're an underdog and they won, you get a point for that.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this off pod before we
Yeah, and I
settle
have
on
another one. I
anything.
have another one as far as like because we have like a football one, we have a baseball one, and then we do a bracket every year for March
Yeah,
Madness,
that
right?
wasn't supposed to actually count, by the
No,
way, in brackets.
we're not going to get into the semantics of it because it was, but whatever. I have receipts. But we have those three. So I was thinking of doing one for like a combination of hockey and basketball, and I'll go over the rules for that for a tally mark. But I just want to get something going on it, so then that way we can kind of, revisit it on the show and talk about it. And like I said, listeners, don't worry. It's not just going to be about, sports
Even though we
on
just
the
went on like
show.
a 20-minute sports tangent here.
Yeah, but we usually like kind of base a lot of our friendship about sports. We kind of both enjoy America's pastime, and I enjoy like all sports of some sort. But I was also going to say, so who do you have for the Super Bowl? Who do you think is going to make it to the Super Bowl?
I mean, at
Or
this,
who are you rooting for to be in the Super Bowl? I should ask.
at this point, I hadn't even really thought about it. I would love to see the Lions go far because, quite frankly, they have been so bad for so long that it would just be a really good story if Detroit makes it. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think it's going to be very tough for the anyone to really knock off the Niners.
Yeah.
As for the AFC side, it's a total crapshoot because I think any one of the three teams remaining can win it. It's
Yes.
there's still a
I
game
mean,
that hasn't started today, so
yeah,
that's kind of
yesterday
a long way to decide that.
the Ravens just looked as dominant for as ever and like totally whooped on the Texans. And that's who I believe I didn't watch the game. I listened to it over the radio, like me and 70, other 70-year-old males. But yeah, I listened to the football game over the radio yesterday, and the Ravens, I just think, just look so dominant. I don't see anyone being able to take out the Ravens. I kind of like the Ravens in general. I think Lamar Jackson should get his because, like, he's got a lot of doubters, and you start doubting someone like Lamar Jackson, and most likely he's going to be the league's MVP this year again. He's got a, this is something that is kind of like, if he doesn't win, especially this year, it seems like that, like, it's that window now. It'll be one of those, like, those Dan Marino conversations where it's like one of the best that didn't that never won one, So I think Lamar Jackson needs to get his, and I think this is his year, and that team just looks like head and feet above all others. I am not a 49er fan. I don't want to, but when I watched them yesterday, they, like, what it was, it Debo Samuel was out for a large part of the game, or a large part of the game, and I think if he can stay healthy, and then Christian McCaffrey can do what he does, I think they will be the favorite. Or I think they already are the favorite, but I'm just saying they will remain the favorite as far as what you were referencing to as well.
Yeah, they're gonna at least they at least have the best shot to get there. It's just a
But
matter of who they have
yeah,
to play
but
against.
I believe I'm hitching my caboose onto your locomotive here as well, and saying it literally, if I had to choose out of the remaining teams, and that was even before yesterday, I would say I would like the Ravens and the Lions to be in the Super Bowl, and I would love to see that matchup. And whoever won, I think I would be a winner, as far as like my allegiances go. I'm just not a 49ers fan. That has nothing to do with my belief of them and their ability. They have a lot of talent on that team, like too much talent on that team almost. And so I, so and my last thing I was going to ask is, do you think the Super Bowl or the day after Super Bowl should be a holiday?
I think the Super Bowl should be on a Saturday, and then the Sunday just kind of gets to be your hangover day because.
No, for marketing, that will never happen. Sunday is football's day. It's the day of our Lord and football. I don't know. I didn't mean it like that, but regardless, like for marketing, and that's just the way it's always been. It's kind of like I talk about America's pastime. That's, that's not what I'm asking. So you're saying no, you don't think that the Monday after should be a day off. In the
No.
world that a Super Bowl has to be played on a Sunday because it's freaking called Super Bowl Sunday, Monday, I think the Monday after Super Bowl, I'm really bad with holidays. What is there, like Labor Day? They don't call like Columbus Day. Columbus Day, it's Indigenous People Day. I don't know what any of these days land on, but Take one away. Labor Day. When is Labor Day? Do you know, Griffin?
Labor Day is usually the first Monday of September.
Yeah, I don't, I appreciate the labors in this world. I don't know. Anyway,
I mean,
whatever.
honestly, I would give up Indigenous Peoples Day. I mean, I have
No,
never
that's
had
not.
that. I've never
No,
had that
no,
day off at
no.
work. I've always had
It,
to work on that day.
as a mail carrier, you get that day off. And I, as if it was a Columbus
That's not
Day
a real
still,
holiday, though. I
if it
mean, I have
was,
had to work that day
if
every single day for like
yes,
15 years. I work a
okay.
normal 9-to-5
But
job.
I'm saying if it was still Columbus Day, yes, that's axe that and then change it to the day after the Super Bowl. We get that holiday. I'm talking about as a mail carrier because we get a Columbus Day, I mean, Indigenous people, but they call it Indigenous People Day now. And
You don't want to
I
call it
enjoy.
Vikings Day.
Okay, this tangent got way more serious than what it needed to be. I think there is a place. I think it's Virginia. I did not research this properly, but I believe there is a place or a state that introduced that the actual day after the Super Bowl is a holiday, and school and work is out on that day. And I think it passed. And they're like, they're doing it, you know. I think it should be. When my dad used to work in the Air Force and we were stationed overseas in England, you know, and the day after the Super Bowl, they let all of the employees come in like 2 hours later because you would had to stay up to like 3 in the morning to watch the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I digress. I believe it should. I think you should, like I said, we need to axe one of the other ones off. Like I'm the rundown here for like my holidays. I still have MLK Day on here. I realized that. I don't know if you could tell, I copy and paste these rundowns. But
Yes, I did notice
yes.
that.
Yeah, I did. We get MLK Day as a federal employee. It's pretty awesome. Like, and with me, like I said, I'm really bad with holidays. And someone will all of a sudden, like, there'll be a sheet up on the time clock, and it's like, oh yeah, this day, like, we're gonna need volunteers because of, you know, days off like that land on that day. They move them, and it becomes like a whole thing every holiday. It's like, oh yeah, I didn't know that that was this week. You know, like Veterans Day, I'm down for that. Indigenous people, I know you don't get it off, but I get it off. I'm down for recognizing that, you know. But Labor Day, I don't. What would you? And like I said, if it was just like a poll thing, and you went to like all the different people, it's like, what would you rather have? Labor Day off or the day after the Super Bowl? I guarantee you, even people that don't like aren't football or sports fans know that that's a pretty more recognizable and more like I don't want to say
Well, yeah,
celebratory.
because people usually get trashed and
Yeah,
call out of
it's kind of
work
like New
that day.
Year's Day. Like I get New Year's Day off every year, you know. I feel like it's almost like the kind of the same concept as the day after the Super Bowl. But you know, I just think, like I said, it's as far as like our you know, modern day like existence, like the day after the Super Bowl, I think is a pretty, you know, they even do like statistics and studies and stay like that, you know, like that. It's the same thing that like the first day of March Madness, the, you know, production and the levels of like actually getting stuff done those days is like at an all-time low, you know. So if that's the case, then why are we even like, you know, forcing people to go to work, but yet we still. I keep on coming back to Labor Day. I must have like a real problem with the labor people. I don't know. I like recognizing these
I don't
different
normally
groups.
have a problem with Labor Day because it kind of comes in this period where there's like not really any real holidays for a while. It's like you have
Yeah.
July 4th and then you got like 2 months before your next holiday. So the timing of it works great.
Yeah. And I don't know, but I think like, you know, the only thing around Super Bowl is like, was that Valentine's Day, you know?
Well, I mean, you
And
have President's Day and then you have Martin Luther King Day. You have plenty of friggin' holidays in January to February there.
okay, well,
Anywho, we are running
yes.
out of time, so look forward to talking to you guys next week and having some fun with Walk Like a Mailman.
Yes. And this segment was brought to you by Ice Cubes. I like ice cubes.